How good it is to know what it is that you believe, so you can live what you believe. We have our affirmation of faith each time we gather together. This one from Romans, the letter to the Romans, the letter to the Roman churches. The churches in and around the city of Rome, chapter 8. And it's taken from verses 14 and 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Again, I remind you who hear this, that we're adopted as sons because in the ancient world, the sons were the inheritors of the father's estate. So as sons, men and women, sons of the father, you will inherit the kingdom of the father. Reading of God's word is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. 15 years ago, you might have seen t-shirts or other apparel with the slogan, No Fear. No Fear was an American lifestyle clothing brand. No Fear Incorporated products are sold at various retail stores and company-owned stores. The company also licensed the No Fear energy drinks. The company has since been purchased by a British company. In Britain, the phrase No Fear means don't worry, as in, don't worry, it will turn out all right. I suppose to some of our prayer requests, we could have, if we were in Britain, said, no fear. In America, the term no fear has been associated with extreme sports like mixed martial arts, cage fighting, base jumping, and hang gliding. When you think of those sports, you kind of get what no fear would mean to participate or enjoy those sports. You have to have no fear. As I've mentioned before from John Ortberg's book, and some of you have studied it, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. That's the title of the book. One of the most common commands in the entire Bible, he reminds us, is do not be afraid. We most recently encountered this phrase at Christmas when the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Now, almost any time a messenger from God, called an angel, shows up on earth, the people who are present almost always have to be told, don't be afraid. It is perfectly natural to be frightened by a supernatural event or a real spiritual visitation. However, when it is a messenger from God, the person to whom the messenger was sent, that person's fear may prevent that person from hearing the message being given. Since our great God did communicate with people, do not be afraid became some of the first words out of the divine messenger's mouth. First words out of the angel's mouth, do not be afraid. And we read that about any time there are divine visitations mentioned in the Bible. In Mary's case, we see again that God doesn't want something from the person. Many people think God wants something from us. In this case, God does want Mary's consent to the plan God has made. And Mary does consent to the plan, but the consent that Mary gives allows God to give to Mary a child. And not just any child, but the Son of God. God does not want something from Mary. God wants something for Mary. And in this case, God wants something for the entire world. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son. John 3:16. So we see God wants something for us in coming to us in the person of Jesus. Having said all that, we see the terms both love and fear in the same verse here in John's first letter. Reading, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John is a letter, the first of three from John, but it doesn't start like many letters in the New Testament. We do not read, dear congregation, or even dearest beloved congregation. We don't even see greetings, nor do we read the apostle or from the apostle to the saints. No, what we have in John's letter in the first verses of the first chapter is an outburst of proclamation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. One commentator states, this is the opening of the letter wherein we see themes dealt with in the body of the letter. The triumph of light over darkness. The perfection of love. The apostle declares, God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. The message we have from Jesus and declared to the apostles and declared to you from the apostles and Jesus. John 1:5. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship and purified from sin. We do sin, the apostle assures us, but through confession and forgiveness and purification. Then the apostle states in chapter 2, if anyone does not do what Jesus commands, then they don't know Jesus, and truth is not in that person. But in obedience to Jesus, God's love is truly complete in Him. Keep that in mind. Obedience to the Lord is found, in obedience to the Lord is found completeness of God's love in that person. Complete or completeness is the favorite translation of the Bible we have in our pews, but maturity is just as good a translation. Maturity as in finalizing, becoming completed. In obedience to the Lord is found maturity of God's love in that person. We might use the word perfect, but we, in America, in the 21st century, have too much baggage with that word. Perfect love casts out fear. And I've always had issues with that verse. I can believe that verse, and I know that I don't have perfect love. God has perfect love, so am I not receiving it? Is there something wrong with my receiver? Is my tuner bad? Broken? Since I still have fears. Or do I misunderstand the verse? Or, as I often suggest to myself, do I misunderstand God? I usually find fault with myself for any misunderstandings. The first problem I have, and it's a problem for many as I read it, the problem is the word translated perfect. A better translation might be perfected. Perfected love casts out fear. It's an alternative translation to the word. So also is the word matured. Matured love casts out fear. The English Standard Version says it this way: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The Holcomb Christian Standard Bible says, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love, at least not yet. So if I'm not there yet, if I'm not mature enough in my love, my understanding of love, I may have fear. Now, my fear is in part stoked because of the Bible study topic we've now undertaken, looking at rewards that Jesus brings. And we noted in class that rewards are rewards. Most of them good. Some of them are not good, but they're all rewards. We will get, all of us, what we deserve for our deeds. We've been looking at the judgment that Jesus brings. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 2:6, God will repay each person according to what they have done. And I've listed in the sermon notes a number of verses that support the Apostle's words. Or as television's Maud often said, God will get them for that. We begin this section of the letter in verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Jesus is the Son of God. Is acceptance of knowledge of God's love, since we affirm in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, God gave to us Jesus, God's Son. Other translations say, fear is not in love, rather perfect love throws out fear because fear has punishment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love. But as I know, it can't. You can be. You can be perfected in love. It just hasn't happened yet. I would recommend any number of other translations or versions for you to read that particular verse. One simply says, dread has pain. Love does not. But we're reminded of the 23rd Psalm in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear not. I fear no evil, for you are with me, your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. You have the weapons and tools of my protection. And we sang today, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Jesus said, speaking again of the judgment that is coming, I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. That one generally puts some chills in me, since I'm pretty sure I have a lot of empty words. But we looked in some detail at Peter's words a while back, 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We also read of deeds of repentance, which are only enabled by the love of God in Jesus Christ, so that by faith and deeds of repentance, our maturing in love, we will no longer fear any punishment. One scholar states, puts it this way, the prospect of standing before the seat of God's judgment holds no terror for those who are growing in love. I'll say that again. The prospect of standing before the seat of God's judgment holds no terror for those who are growing in love. Translating verse 18 this way, for when the love of God is properly known, it calms the mind. Which I understand is a quote from John Calvin, the great reformer. The same scholar went on to say, Christians do not mature in divine love under the whip, as if driven to do good. Christians do not mature in divine love under the whip, as if driven to do good. That love from God demonstrated in Jesus, and Jesus gave many examples of that same love, God's persistent, encouraging presence, the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit activates that same love in our lives, within the church, and within the world, towards a hostile world, which is a reminder that divine love is not a human attribute. None of us is born with it. We might be born because of divine love, but we are not born able to generate divine love. Divine love from God has to be revealed to us, and in receiving that love, we begin to grow in love. And so the apostle states plainly, we love because he first loved us. And I would add, it cannot be otherwise. We love because he first loved us. It cannot be otherwise. 1 John 4:17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. The love we learn, the love we mature in, will make us confident on the day of judgment, and there will be no fear. Our teacher in the Bible study, Bruce Wilkinson, will mention the early Christians sent to their deaths by the authorities. They did not go to their deaths defeated, broken, or even sad. They went to their deaths confident. Their rewards were waiting for them from Jesus' hand. They would be in paradise very soon. The saying was sure back then that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. Even the pagans would admire the Christians in death, not because the martyrs were brave, but because they were unafraid and confident. It gave the pagans pause to think about such confidence in death. How could those Christians do that? What did those Christians know? Who was the Lord of the Christians? The church grew in those questions that the pagans asked. The martyrs' blood brought forth those questions, and the churches answered those questions. Perfect love casts out fear. The apostle tells us that those martyrs knew perfect love. They were mature in love, and so they had no fear. They might have feared pain, but they were not afraid of death, and they no longer feared any punishment. They knew fully the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.